Jeez, we got some.
If I had hair, I'd probably lose like half of it that day.
It would all just fall out.
Uh-huh. Like when they're like Simpsons episode, like Homer didn't it all just like whoop. I'd wake up and like my pillow was full of half my hair.
That does happen right now, doesn't it? Every morning you wake up, pillow's got half your hair. All it takes is one. I'm a Saints fan. What's up, Houdat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and my drunk scale rating is a 0, but I am drinking a third straight week from the Kona Brewing Company. This time it's a golden ale, and it's also good. So now we are 3 for 3 with Kona Brewing Company's beers. And I think I might have, right up there with Sweetwater, one of my favorite beers on the planet.
You gonna start wearing tiki shirts?
I might. The Saints are heading over to Jacksonville for a little preseason scrimmage action where the defense is gonna have a chance to test itself against a formidable run game, at least for the few plays that Leonard Fournette gets to carry. That means that this week's episode of the Dome Patrol podcast will feature the return of Saints preview. Although there's not too much to preview, unless you want to talk about which bubble player you think is going to either make the team or blow his opportunity this week. But I will say we're all very excited that the return of Saints football is back, and all but the bye week. We are looking at nothing but football every week from here to the end of 2018. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I go with a 1. I had a snack when I got home, some cheese and crackers. I had a little half glass of wine, and now I'm back to the old transfusion. It's going to be my drink of choice. It's my championship drink this season.
All right. Getting that transfusion. Defense got a transfusion. They're playing like
our whole roster got a transfusion starting a couple years ago.
True that. Damon, welcome to the show. How you feeling?
Having a little Dixie beer.
Oh, do you have a number yet? Or is that the first?
It's actually my second.
Ah.
I just felt like a Dixie every once in a while, so.
He likes them Dicks every once in a while.
I like Dixie. What is it? A six-pack of Dixie? What's the joke?
A Dix-pack of Sixie?
Yeah. But, yeah, I'm feeling good. I'm excited.
All right.
Looking forward to Marcus Williams winning defensive player of the year.
Player of the year. He's going to be the best safety in the league.
That would be amazing. That would be amazing if he did that.
Apparently.
So, wow. So, Damon, you tailgating? This is a tailgate episode. This one's going to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess we should just get into fake news.
Am I making this presentation directly to the American people? With the media present, which is an honor to have you this morning, because many of our nation's reporters and folks will not tell you the truth.
Russia is a ruse. It's all fake news. It's all a ruse.
Not true.
It's all fake news. Russia is a ruse. Fake. It's all fake news. The news is fake because so much of the news is fake. One of the reasons
that's going to cover pretty much everything that's happened between the last episode and this episode, not counting the Jacksonville game itself, obviously. So one of the things, you know, let's lead off with a little respectful Tom Benson being inducted into the, what is it, the New Orleans Sports Hall of Fame?
I think that's a classic, Jeff, but I have no idea. This didn't happen this week, right?
Yeah, I haven't. I'm unaware of that.
I think he got inducted into the Louisiana Hall of
That would be in Natchitoches, if that was it. Right. They usually do that. They did that a couple months ago, I thought.
I think that's what... Why did you get this? There was no news this week about it.
I did see it. Hold on. Let me look for it. Let's see. One day ago, New Orleans Saints themselves, Tom Benson, has been inducted into the Greater New Orleans Sports Hall of Fame. Mrs. Benson accepted the award in his honor at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. You guys just don't pay attention to anything that has to do with the Saints, do you? Do you know anything about what's going on around you? It's in your own backyard.
Yeah, you didn't even know there was. So it's not quite my backyard.
It's the Greater New Orleans. Is Lydell part of the Greater New Orleans?
I guess technically, but it could be part of the Greater Gulfport area.
Oh, don't you dare.
It's probably about halfway in between, right?
You didn't even know there was a Greater New Orleans Sports Hall of Fame, did you?
I knew there was a Greater New Orleans
Sports Foundation.
New Orleans Sports Foundation. I didn't know there was a Hall of Fame. I mean, how many Hall of Fames do we need around here?
Well, there's
you got the Saints Hall of Fame. You got that Hall of Fame.
That's right.
You got the Louisiana Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
When you mentioned Tom Benson, I thought you were going to mention that he showed up on the cover of the ticket booklet that we received on Friday.
When you said he showed up, I didn't know where you were going. I'm like, what?
Oh, yeah. You didn't know they resurrected him.
Yeah. To do the Benson boogie.
So that's where I thought you were going with it.
Well, he did, and that was pretty cool looking, wasn't it?
The giant, it's like each ticket is one, I guess, giant thing, and you kind of unfold it, and there's all the tickets. But on the cover is Benson doing the boogie. It looks like probably early 90s, maybe.
Yeah, pointing at
Devin looked a little more spry.
It said something about We March On, right?
Yeah.
So the car sticker is like a little logo of TB with him with his umbrella. You know, 2018 season ticket holder. And
he'll pretty much be inducted into every Sports Hall of Fame, at least that's related to New Orleans, Louisiana, and the Saints. And
it was pretty cool. I mean, for some reason, we're on Tom Benson because you brought him up. But, you know, we had the Hall of Fame game last week, and on the radio, NFL radio, was interviewing everybody and blah, 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 blah. But they all, you know, they kept calling the Tom Benson Hall of Fame stadium, you know, they kept, but every time they did say Tom Benson, you know.
Oh, cool. Yeah, that's right. I forgot he bought the.
He donated.
The paid for the. Yeah.
No, he didn't. You know, he donated. He donated. And they named it after it.
Okay, so he bought it. He donated it. Same thing.
He paid for it. He bankrolled it.
He yeah. paid, right. And they unveiled a statue of him there, too. There's a statue.
Oh, nice. All right.
But you know, you say they kept saying Tom Benson. That's kind of like whenever you hear somebody talk about the NFL, they never say the NFL. They always say the National Football League. think about it. I don't know. I mean, I've noticed that you probably don't, but pay attention when guys, whoever is commentating about the league on TV, whether it be their network, ESPN, whoever, they always say the National Football League. They never say NFL.
Interesting.
Really?
I wonder what's up with that.
What's up with that? What's up with that?
Things coming out of camp. Obviously, Tre'Quan Smith continues to impress everybody. Be very curious to see what
offensive rookie of the year.
How much time they give him Thursday. What about Von Bell? He's having a good camp, huh?
Not as good as Marcus Williams, but I guess he's doing okay.
I guess so. Why? What have you heard? I mean, I can't say that I've heard them.
Did you just feel like bringing up Von Bell?
Yeah, I can't say that I've.
Well, he's just getting a little bit of hype over there in the.
Okay.
You know.
You sure?
I mean, I'm sure everybody is.
Yeah, I think.
Okay, I don't know about that. I mean, look.
I've not heard anybody mention Von Bell specifically.
Me neither. No, me neither. So,
all right, Jeff, cross that one off the list. Right. You can't go to Saints.com to get your news because they're going to blow every single person, and we're going 19-0, which we still might. But
speaking of blowing everybody, the Saints have their first male dance team.
What's up with that? What's up with that? What's up with that? Yeah.
Oh, now that's a segue. So the Saints and the Rams, by the way. So it's not just us. I'd expect this from the Rams.
I don't know. I mean, you
would
think
expect it from New Orleans? I mean, we're an interesting city.
Yeah, right? I guess you're right. But LA is a lot more progressive than New Orleans. New Orleans.
Past St. Anne, you know, that's where Bourbon Street stops.
Yeah, but I do see, I see where Jeff's coming from in terms of the people who are hardcore Saints fans who probably wear a lot of camouflage. I could see what their response to a male dancer would be.
Is it news? I mean, yes, it's news because it's the first time it's
because
ever
it's
happened.
The first.
But is it something to spend a whole lot of time talking about, or is it just
nope,
kind of like?
Yeah.
No, congrats to him.
You're kind of making it. I don't know. It's interesting.
Is it victory for gender equality?
You know, we've had male cheerleaders before. Back in the day, you know, the Saints used to have the Saints station and cheerleaders, you know. And
that's
they
right.
would do. But this is the first dance team member. I don't know. It's interesting.
Well, and if you would say, right, when the ceiling was broken and they let male cheerleaders happen a long time ago or whatever, it's so common.
Oh, God,
now,
from the
right?
beginning. I mean, I think the first cheerleaders were male, actually, back in, you know, in the early 20th century. No, seriously. In the early 20th century. it was a more male, you know. But anyway, I just like the segue, you know.
Yeah, it was a good segue. But yeah, look,
here's the thing: you don't know if he's gay. Maybe he's just an avid.
Oh no! Live an alternative lifestyle.
Yeah, which is fine. Which is fine.
You don't like personally.
I'll put it this way: him being a dance team member is not going to affect my game day experience one way or the other.
No, nope. Well,
you can't even see the dancers from your seats.
If I bring binoculars, I can. But I'm not going to bring binoculars because that's just something else I got to carry around.
So I can tell you, the sensation got me through a lot of games during the Ditka year. Trust me, they were a lot more entertaining than what was on the field.
Now I wonder, wasn't there like a former sensation or two that did they file a lawsuit or did they?
Right. I was going to say, yeah, correct, right. Right after the season ended, yes, there
right
was
about this year? About the. About the treatment and having to go by season suite holders or season ticket holders and Devin to do certain things. Do you think this could be
yes.
A response to that?
Yes, I think so.
It wasn't mandatorily stated, but they said somewhat implied.
Allegedly!
Brandon Coleman, now, so this is 2 weeks in a row that receivers who might not have made as big of an impact certainly won't make any impact.
Well,
we lost to Rowell, and I know last week we talked about Coleman, but he certainly ain't blocking shit now.
No, I guess apparently he's still dealing with an injury. A couple of injuries, apparently a hip and a neck. He's still fighting. Now, Peyton did say...
What about his humerus bone?
I think that's intact.
All right.
Again, now, he's not really laughing about it right now, but Peyton said that there's a decent chance that we could see him at some point this season if he gets healthy. I mean, I don't know. Especially after we signed Tate and we signed Floyd, there's so much competition at the wide receiver spot. So it was going to be an uphill battle for him to make it anyway, especially since he hadn't practiced yet.
But Peyton said, you know, today after practice or after news, you know, that there's a possibility that he comes back. I mean, when I heard it, it sounded like, but yeah, he wants to bring him back. You didn't get that?
Yo, I mean, that's what he said, but again, it's like, how much do you believe what Peyton says? I mean, you say that
he's
all the time.
He's a goddamn liar!
You say it all the time. So, I guess I'm not...
That's from Family Guy. That guy's a liar.
Do you think the lack of injuries has to do with the fact that they fired the team doctors last year and brought in competent team doctors and strength?
Well, I'd like to say yeah.
But there's a lot of people sitting out. You know, you say lack of injuries. I mean, what are we talking about, you know?
I'm talking about we didn't lose half our team this offseason like normally we do, and then the other half we lose during the season. And it seems like we're going in kind of full strength. And you did talk about last week how players aren't necessarily having to practice. Veteran players aren't having to practice all the time during camp. Like Cam Jordan takes a day off here and there, and Breeze takes a day off.
But, I mean, I think, you know, like, Hooman is out. Davenport's out.
Yeah, Davenport's missed a few practices.
There's a handful of people. Yeah, like
Pete hasn't practiced a ton, so they are kind of bringing him along. Armstead
is healthy.
Right. I was reading some article about his shit. He's been nursing injuries the last couple of off seasons, even. So he would be starting his season kind of not at 100%, which makes sense why he might get hurt. Again, and that's kind of actually now that... We're talking about it. That is kind of, I was reading that, which made me say, I want to talk about the team doctor situation because the difference that he's got a different regimen. He's got a different workout system, a different little diet this year. He's doing kind of, he wasn't asked or cleared maybe, or he was, you know,
he
come in hurt.
Yeah. We moved on from the doctors that would shoot him up like Bud Kilmer.
Right.
Hey coach, I heard a pop. No, I think he's hurt pretty bad.
You get out of here. Y'all wouldn't know anything about dedication, team play.
But I would. If that needle goes anywhere near Wendell's leg, I swear to God on my mother's grave, I will rip your arms off and beat you to death with them.
Give him the shot.
You give him that shot, you find yourself another fucking quarterback.
But last year, didn't he get hurt in a non-contact drill last year? Wasn't that a...
Yeah, it was in a practice, and maybe he was going against one of those big tackling dummies, and he did something.
And he missed the pad and landed on the ground.
Ah! Ah!
Wasn't that during training camp or without?
Yeah, it was. No, it was. It was training camp. No, right. I'm pretty sure it was training camp. I think. I guess it could have been OTAs, but it was definitely the offseason.
So this year, there are no tackling dummies here. It is just that sport. He's hurt now.
But, you know, knock on wood, no torn ACLs. No sports hernias yet.
Right.
Although, watch a couple of days from now. Marcus Davenport goes to Philadelphia for sports hernia surgery.
Speaking of people going places, Kenny Vaccaro going to Tennessee.
Finally found a job. I guess he figured, all right, I better stop fucking around. Let me go work somewhere.
I mean, I'm happy for him that he found a place to land.
It seems like it's a good fit. It's a decent team. You know, they made the playoffs last year.
Did Tennessee kind of lose a safety during?
Yeah. They lost one of their guys torn ACL last week. So that kind of forced their hand.
There you go. Yeah.
Cyprian.
Starts with an S. So swim, swummy, slippy. Slappy, Slimmin, Swanson?
Maybe it's on the briefcase. Look on the...
Oh, yeah! It's right here. Samsonite. I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
You know, without that injury, he might still be on the side.
All right. Last chance for fake news before we get into our next segment.
Marcus Williams is going to be the greatest Saint ever.
Williams, they are just a camp beast. Goodness, a tight end mentioned last week.
Yeah, Arnold, and they had the practice last night at Tulane, at Uelmann. The defense again played great. PJ Williams had a pick six, and then Williams intercepted a deep ball in the end zone off of Breeze.
At this point, the defense doing so well in practice. Are you starting to have concerns about the offense, or is the defense that awesome?
No, I will not have concerns about Drew Brees and Sean Payton until I see them sucking it up on the field.
Well, then this defense is, if this translates to real football when it counts, do you realize we could be looking at another 10-0, 13-0?
I don't know about that. I mean, we have a tough schedule, but if this defense. Is, you know, if this defense comes through with what they're reporting, you know, and they're saying, like, we might have a top five defense.
Jesus.
Well, you think about it like that, too. If you end up, if we do have a top five defense, that means our offense gets the ball even more, which means we're just going to be number one offense. Easy. Defense is in the top 10. Our offense has got to be number one. It has to be. Just for the simple fact that they'll have the ball more often, whether it's turnovers, short drives.
No, right.
That's how you do it. That's how you control the clock, too.
Yeah.
Right. Better field position, you know, that hidden yardage. So.
See? Just keep it out of the special teams' hands.
Ralph, you'll be on special teams.
I'm special!
We kind of got on it last week. Is there anything new since last week, or is it still just one of those?
I mean, we signed. Well, when did we sign Tate? Did we sign Tate and Floyd after we recorded?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, right. Okay. And that was obviously a special teams move, you know.
Yeah, Tate for sure. Tate's known as a kick returner, so.
Well, Tate might, with Coleman going down, if Tate is, he might be your value pick then, because he can.
I mean, or Floyd.
He's a better receiver than Floyd, isn't he?
If Floyd can stay off of Bourbon Street, stay sober.
Ask Kerry Collins how easy that is.
He wasn't too bad. When he was here that year. He was just here for a year, right?
Yeah, yep. He was hung over the whole time. Let's move into Look At Him tweets. Okay, our first tweet. This comes from Big Easy of Mafia, UK. Our friends at the Saints.
Speaking of, I did get a message about still trying to do a crossover.
Yeah, we got to figure that out.
I'd like to do that. I mean, I still want.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely would too.
I want all of them on the podcast and all of us on the podcast. I don't want just
one guy. Yeah,
right.
An actual crossover. You can do like an hour and a half long show. Half of it gets posted on our feed. The back half gets posted on.
Oh,
our
you got to listen to both shows. Oh, I like that.
That's kind of like the
Arrow and the Flash?
Yeah. Yep, the Arrowverse.
All right. Big Easy Mafia UK says, who are you most looking forward to seeing in the week one preseason against the Jags? And please, no more Tiger Week. Back to football, please, Jason. All right, y'all talk about who y'all are excited about seeing, and I'm going to go grab another Kona Brewing Company beer.
I mean, I'm not going to say the obvious of Traquan. You know, the starter should not get a ton of time this week. I'm actually interested to see all the backup offensive linemen. You know, the starting five is set. I'm curious to see who's going to end up being the backup swing guys, you know, since with no Kelemene this year. I mean, that, he was big for us last year with all the injuries they had, so I'm curious to see how that all shakes out because there's a ton of guys competing for the few backup spots we have.
Well, that's Bushrod, right?
Well, I mean, Bushrod, you know, Bushrod's one. You've got Leonard. You've got Clapp, the two draft picks. You got Cameron Tom, the undrafted guy from last year. You got Laribas, who played a little bit last year. Still got Turner, you know, who we brought in a few years ago. So there's a bunch of guys back there. I'm just interested to see how that's all gonna fall. Like if Leonard just doesn't cut it, I know he was a project, converted defensive end. If he can't make it right away, that would be one of the you know, stick him on IR guys. But I'm curious. I'm actually going to be watching their play Thursday night just to kind of see how they. I'm going to try to watch them to see how they do.
But who? I mean, I'd like to see Tyson Hill. Taysom Hill. I'm curious to see what he does.
I mean, I'm thinking if anything, Breeze just gets a series, if that.
Oh, I don't think he gets that.
You don't think he plays at all?
I don't think he gets that this week. Nope.
Okay, we may just go first half Savage, second half Hill, and just
that's what I'm thinking.
Or like Hill and Barrett, I guess.
All right, real quick, and I think I know the answer to this one, but just in case you have a certain way you want to respond, James Tabor says, are you buying or selling the Traquan Smith hype? I think that answer's obvious.
I'm buying it. I haven't seen him catch a pass or run a route, but I'm buying it.
I trust everybody else's eyes.
I am speculating, and I'm bye.
All right, Nick NRG, welcome back to the show. Says, a few weeks ago, I felt you guys were unfair in regards to Brandon Coleman. I realized that he was recently released due to a failed physical, although I'm willing to bet he comes back. You guys were dissing him as though he was some first-round draft pick that never panned out.
I don't recall that.
I recall me dissing him, and I've dissed him since the day he got on the
Jeff has,
practice
Jeff
squad.
Has hated him since he's been on the team.
I get where Nick's coming from because you're right. I do feel like I've always judged him like he was supposed to be like a first-round talent for whatever reason, and maybe that comes – the Traquan Smith hype is a perfect example. When he arrived, a lot of people were jerking off to him because he had a good – training camp or a good preseason that year or something to that effect. Not good enough, obviously. He got to the practice squad.
He was an internet superstar.
Right. I think it was kind of that kind of a thing where everybody was like, oh, Brandon Coleman. And I'm like, I'm not seeing what you're – I was selling. Everybody else was buying. So, but then last week, yeah, Nick, I was doing that. But Damon was the one who actually came through and actually defended him, saying he's not here because of his ability to catch. He's here because of his ability to block. At which time I said I'd throw away everything that I said.
It's a plus. His blocking was definitely a plus.
Yeah.
And I remember Damon saying he's probably going to make the roster due to his good blocking down.
Yes, you did say that. Yep. So I dissed him, and I was right. So.
Well, no,
for the first time in like 7 years.
I've been right for 7 years on this guy.
Okay.
Neil says, I'm not allowed to send you anything in case the UK Saints podcast and Mafia UK abuse me again.
Yeah, I listened to them this week, and they were bitching that Neil sent us an email. Not a tweet. Not that. I was like, Come on, guys. We're all in the same boat here.
Well, and you guys need to remember here, like, Neil and us go back to season one. I mean, Neil,
way before they started doing.
Yeah, you guys have to find your own Neil.
That's right.
And from America.
From the U.S., yeah.
You got to find a Neil from America.
That's right. And his name should be Neil.
Yeah, that's a prerequisite.
All right, let's see.
Actually, it should be Liam.
Liam, yeah. There's actually somebody, Saints Europe, Says, I'm looking forward to the UK Saints podcast, Dome Patrol podcast crossover. Is that still going to happen? So I guess we will have to make that happen for sure.
That would be fun on the crossover to do like a Battle Dome, Damon against Ash.
Yeah. They might get I think Damon and Ash are going to get
except
along.
They're going to gang up on all of us.
Yeah, Damon and Ash are the same person. Just one's a British version and one's maybe I shouldn't say British. I don't think Ash is he British?
He's Welsh.
He's Welsh. He certainly does not like the royal family.
No, he's a little step down from British, you know.
Oh, and shots fired. Oh,
now we might have a battle. Down.
That's right.
Well, actually, he'll understand and accept that.
75 tweets later, they all had a whole conversation without us.
Yeah, right.
About it?
No, they were talking about the whole Neil thing, and then they ended up attacking Ash, saying that Ash is just like Kim Jong-un. and then Ash said, no, I'm not. Wait, where's the list? That was funny, actually. Oh, Ash said, number one, he has more hair. Number two, he's fatter than me. Number three, I'm not Asian. Number four, I'm taller. Number five, the only nuclear device I have is my ass farts after a Mexican dinner. And then Neil said, and he's more diplomatic.
Ash and I sort of fill the same role. Yep.
The voice of dissension?
not really. Just kind of keeping it real and honest and surrounded by two idiots.
And now y'all are friends again. All right. So then that is going to conclude our look at him tweets. Okay. So let's move into Saints Preview. The Saints will be heading to Jacksonville, and you guys kind of were getting into it. We were talking about who you were looking forward to seeing. So you don't see many, if any, starters, really.
Not at all. I mean, maybe the offense, you know, maybe.
I mean, you may get a series with, like, the linebacker. I mean, we do have a lot of linebackers that are interchangeable, but maybe, like, the D-line and the linebackers might have a series. And maybe, like, the safeties and corners back there. But I wouldn't anticipate them playing for two.
All right. Do you expect to see Leonard Fournette any?
Nope. Thank you.
There's no reason for them to play Leonard Fournette at all, except maybe a series in their third game. I mean, you know what he is. Mm-hmm. No reason to bang up a running back.
Right. I mean, that's definitely something that I feel has been a recent trend. In the first preseason game, not letting your starters, you know, play at all.
Not even at all.
Right, at all. I mean, what, Drew sees what, maybe, like you said, I think Drew sees a series or two in the second game, in the second game, and then maybe a quarter in the third game, and doesn't play the fourth game at all, and doesn't play this game.
Yeah, that's great, you know, you're going to be so excited to watch it, and then it starts, and then all the backups come in, and you're like, who?
Yeah, but this is kind of what the preseason is about. You want to see where's the depth going to be, right? Where's who's going to make the team? Who's going to give you the best shot? We have all these hopes. I mean, think about this, too. You know Kamara's probably not going to play, right? So we're going to see this whole who's going to replace. We're going to get a peek into who's going to actually fill the Ingram role for the first four games. Is it going to be Vereen, Jonathan Williams, Terrence West?
Yeah, he was. They did release the first unofficial depth chart today. And they had, you know, Ingram and Kamara slash as the ones, and then the first one behind them was Green. Then
so
Williams.
He'll get the bulk of the carries, probably.
I guess he'll get, yeah, in the first game, I guess so.
Third night, yeah. And then see more of Cameron Meredith, right? And maybe a little bit of...
I don't think you're going to see Meredith. With his injury, I don't think he's going to. If I had to guess, I wouldn't. I mean, they're not going to rush him back. So I don't think he's going to see action until the second game or the third.
Yeah. Or the third game. I mean, I would think, but.
I mean, you still have all the other receivers, especially battling at the back end, they're going to throw those guys out there.
Yeah.
Especially with Breeze not throwing passes. He's not going to let Hill or Savage throw him, bad passes and risk injury.
And then you talked about the offensive line. Will Clapp is going to be an interesting guy to watch, because are you going to see him at center? Are you going to see him move him around? He's pretty versatile.
Well, and that's part of what could help him make the roster, because he can play more than just – he can play center. He can play guard.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to need the jack-of-all-trades spot with no Kellen Mithy around. That's why, like I said earlier, I'm anxious to see how all those linemen do.
I'm going to be watching special teams.
That's definitely something that needs watches. That's a problem. I'm just
watching to see who catches a punt without dropping it.
Look, I mean, it's preseason, and we're getting the hype just because, my goodness, we're so starved for football. But it's preseason.
We're literally watching. Basically, you're watching a practice. Or for those of you who are just stupid and worry about the preseason record and winning games, it's not about the score. It's about the individual battles that you're watching and comparing. And I always hate when people, come out of the preseason games like, oh, the Saints, if we lose this game, for example. Oh, the Saints lost to Jacksonville. How do you expect you're going to win the Super Bowl? Well, I don't know, because no one that played in this game is actually going to play in the regular season. Maybe that's part of it. I don't know.
And I think maybe different coaches take different approaches. I remember, the Saints in the early to mid-80s would go 4-0 in the preseason and then not win a game.
Right. Wasn't our Super Bowl year, were we 0-4 in the preseason?
No.
Or
1-4? No, we were dominant. I think we were 3-1.
Oh.
I don't know if you remember, but during the preseason that year, it was the third game, and we took Oakland apart. Don't remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that game.
I mean, we took Oakland apart in however long Drew played, a half maybe. And I think we
touchdown.
I'm going to exaggerate. Right. It was like 35 or 40 to nothing. They're going into halftime. I mean, it was just incredible.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I can't believe you don't remember that.
We were 3-1. We beat Oakland 45-7.
Right. We just tore. I mean, we just.
Yeah. Well, and then look, at the end of the day, there is a little bit of morale boost, right, to cut walking away from the game and everybody having played well. And everybody played well. That means you're going to have a higher score.
I mean, you remember that stretch where we didn't win a preseason game?
Yeah.
And we're like, it doesn't matter. But maybe there's a little.
I'll tell you Friday whether the score matters.
Well, at least this first game, score doesn't matter quite as much because it started.
No one's going to play.
Literally.
Right.
Right, we will have absolutely no line of sight into how our starters are going to perform.
I mean, and this game, because Peyton knows Marone, it could be a question of, okay, what do you need to work on? What do we need to work on? Okay, let's do that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Let's put together and do that. So the final score is not going to be indicative of anything.
Right. Peyton may come into this game clearly wanting to focus on this running back situation, because we are trying to see who to bring in for those four games. So we're probably going to see a lot of run plays more than passing, because obviously there's not a question mark on that position anyway. Now, the question is, right, does he go to Marone and kind of talk to him about, like, hey, throw me some run defenses. I want to see these guys really work hard for it.
Sure, because Marone was on Peyton's staff at one point, there's got to be a lot of some of that going on. Yeah. I mean, because think about it, both teams are Super Bowl contenders.
Yeah.
Jacksonville's a Super Bowl contender. Obviously, Blake Bortles aside.
Unfortunately.
They're still a contender. The rest of their team is that good. They're still a contender.
Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl.
Right. They are definitely a Super Bowl contender. You can't deny that.
No. Yes, I can.
Okay.
Just like, I'm sorry, the Rams, I don't think the Rams are a Super Bowl contender. Yeah, they had a hell of a year last year, the Rams. But look what happened to them in the playoffs. They got dismantled by Atlanta.
Ooh. Yeah, that just sounds...
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's just because we know Atlanta. The team that blew a 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl.
Jacksonville did go to the AFC title game last year.
No, they did. And, I mean, they
think about it. They won two playoff games last year.
Yeah.
So they're contenders.
You know, obviously they should not have won that Pittsburgh game though.
But they did.
But that was because of a bad call though.
They won it.
That was because of a bad
call. There's a bad call. There's bad calls plenty.
There's a bad call. They also jumped out.
Every game there's bad calls. I mean,
not touchdown erasing calls in every game.
No, that's true.
But I don't really think they're a Super Bowl contender with Blake Bortles.
I mean, they are. The rest of your team is that good. They are.
The referee situation and the no helmet contact at all. We hadn't really discussed any of that going into it, and since we are going into our first game, what was it, last week in the Hall of Fame game, you really didn't see too many flags fly at all.
And I didn't see a lot of anything. I think I watched a minute.
And then even I think they asked Sean Payton about the rule himself, and he even, I think, voiced an opinion that he doesn't think that it's really going to draw a lot of flags this year.
Oh, I think it will early in the season. I really think it will. I think it's going to be a fucking disaster.
I mean, and so the rule, to be clear, the rule is you cannot put your head down at all now, right? I mean, you just can't tackle.
How do you play safety then? Like, it's a dumb fuck thing the NFL's trying to do because they want the game to be safe, but it's a violent game. Like, there's going to be more flags. The games are going to be even longer. The play is going to be, you know, think about it. The first month of the season is always shit because they can't practice enough. The starters don't play in preseason. So we're always complaining about how it's bad football, right. And now you're going to add more flags into the mix. I think it's a recipe for disaster.
Deuce and Bobby were talking about it the other day, and Deuce said that, and you don't have a lot of these anymore, a lot of fullbacks, but Deuce was saying, you know, when a fullback pulls or goes through a hole,
they lower their head.
Right. He goes, that guy can't keep his head up or he's going to get smashed. You know, he goes, you know, you can't run upright. Well, when you're trying to throw a block or
it's all about getting low. So you're supposed to get low with your head up. Isn't that going to
get low? Get low.
I mean, to me, like if I'm going low trying to hit somebody, and you're making me keep my head up, if I get hit, you're going to crack my neck going backwards. It's just as dangerous as the other way.
Yeah, like I said, it's.
I don't know. I don't know how you can. I mean, my whole thing is, okay, if you're trying to stop the tackler from getting hurt by throwing his head down and getting a concussion, is that what this is? Or is it you don't want the guy being tackled to get speared with a helmet?
They're trying to eliminate helmet-to-helmet hits, right?
I understand
you can't use your helmet on pads now either. I think that the way I interpret the rules, they can't even hit you in the side or the stomach or the shoulder pad anywhere with your helmet. You cannot
I thought the rule has been since we were kids, yes, you cannot use your head
as a weapon,
the helmet as a weapon. Right. That's all, you know. Right.
That rule never needed to change. That rule was that rule.
You know, right. Now I didn't enforce, but again, how many times have we seen over the last five, even, you know, years that, you know, I'm going to tackle. So the defender is going to tackle the offensive guy. These guys are moving quicker, you know, than we've ever moved. And your natural instinct is to ball up if you're the offensive guy. You know, you shrink, you prepare for the impact, and then, you know, helmet bump. And where the defender wasn't going for the helmet, but this player, you know, crunched to defend himself in the tail. There has to be something, and it has to be like you said, let's see how this rule is called and how often, you know, but if it gets, you know, excessive. There has to be something, there's an intentional fucking using your head, and then there's accidental contact. Fucking people who run fucking 4.4s out there, fucking, you know, running around. And yes, they're going, that's why they have fucking helmets, you fucking cocksuckers. because you can't stop the fucking the incidental contact. If it's incidental, you don't fucking call. Now again, you get me fucking riled up.
No, but it's true, and that's the problem, that the NFL's so fucking incompetent they can't figure this shit out and it develop a smart system that works. It's like, oh no, here's a new rule. Blah, 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 blah.
And it's like, you know, you're gonna cost people a fucking game. You're gonna cost teams game. You know, a fucking penalty that kills a drive or keeps one alive. You know, everybody's so close anyway. And that stupid incidental shit, you can't call it. And maybe they've addressed it. I mean, they're.
I'd like to get my hopes up. I'd like to get my hopes up, but I doubt it.
Well, look, the competition committee who made it, Coach Payton's on. You know,
okay, it sounds good in theory, but how are they going to actually enforce it in a mission?
Well, right.
I think it's going to be an early disaster.
I hope not. I mean,
I hope to God nothing happened, like nothing cost us the game by some stupid nonsense.
Right.
Like that.
And you know, this all safety shit and bullshit with the CTE. And I'm not saying, you know, I'm not saying let's not make the game safe. Sure. But it's just not proven science and everybody. I know that they have this university and everything. Every brain they've tested has CTE. But every brain they've tested showed signs of it. So that's why they got to test it. You know, that's why the family let them, you know, have the brain. We don't know. Maybe one of the three of us have CTE.
There was an article in Time Magazine in July of 2017 where they said CTE was found in 87% of football players' brains.
Look, I do think there is a correlation there, and I agree with making the game as safe as possible. The problem is, it's a violent game. Like, how you can't make it that safe without it not being football anymore.
So, but right to the point of like, okay, they discover, okay, we have this issue, we have to do something about it. So all the things that they've been doing about it, all right, in 2017, there was more concussion diagnoses than any season since the league began sharing the data in 2012. So you've been doing all these rules and coming up with all these things. You haven't moved the marble. You're not, except...
Well, maybe the
only thing now is that they're forced to actually acknowledge that it happened.
Right.
But from 2012, right. So seven, 5 years, you've been doing things to address this issue, and in the fifth year, you've had more than ever.
But you've had more because they're actually reporting it now. I think it's about the same. It might be a little higher, but it's the same. I mean, look, football is a violent sport that causes concussions. But I don't know how you really can't make it. You can't make it a safe fucking sport with no injuries. It's just then it's not football. Like I don't know how. I don't know how they can. You know.
That's the point. Okay, so you're reporting it. The bottom line is, for 5 years now, you've been reporting the numbers, and it's in the 200-some-odd range every year. Guess what? You can't prevent it.
You can't make the game any safer. It is what it is.
Right. The sport.
And yet they're trying to make it safe. And
that's
fine. It's going to make the game worse.
Right. The question is, take the helmets out of the game, maybe? Is it player like rugby?
Right. Correct. Right, that's what I was going to say. We've all heard that. You want to stop these people from using their head? Take the face mask away. Take the helmet away. Give them those old leather helmets like they used to wear. That'll slow them down.
Like football.
Right. Well, again, but also, okay, so what you were saying, Jason, about the violence. What killed boxing is they took the violence away out of boxing in the late 70s and early 80s. Yeah. What they would do, you know, they took away the 16 rounds. Back before we can remember, those old matches were 16 rounds, and they just beat the piss out of each other. People like violence. At least Americans do. I don't know about the rest of the
world. No, we don't.
No, everybody likes it. That's why it's popular in the UK. That's why the gladiator sport was so popular in ancient Roman times. And what killed that whole sport, too, was whenever they took the actual swords and axes and animals away, and they made them play with Nerf guns.
No, but again,
concussions never drop below 200. Okay,
well, but like
number of concussions during the season, the whole year, ACL tears in the same amount of time average about 50 something, MCL tears in the hundreds, the mid hundreds, I mean, concussion is the number one thing. So yeah, they're focusing on it because they're looking at statistics and they're saying this is the worst, like this is the most occurring injury. Well,
and it also has the biggest effect on players when they're. It also has the biggest effect on players when they're done and on their pocketbooks because of that big lawsuit. I mean, that's why we had fucking Bountygate,
right?
You know, because they ignored a lot of that back in the day, and guys are fucking killing themselves because their brains are spaghetti.
Well,
but here's my so here's my question to you though. Okay, let's say we're looking at the things and the off season, and we're the ones in charge. Okay, and we look at the data that says, all right, here's your MCL tear, here's all your different injuries. Obviously, concussions are the number one injury in the sport by a lot. The first question is, do we need to do something about it? Should we do something about it?
Here's all they need to do. Football is always going to be a violent sport by nature. If they change the rules enough, then it's not football anymore. Leave the game as is, but they're going to have to support when these guys do get injured and do get concussed. They have to sit out. They need the treatment that they deserve. The NFL needs to spend the money.
All right, but now here
to help these guys.
Here comes Mr. Guy who says, I can't have that, Jason, because I
need that player on the field
to sell tickets to draw a crowd, because if he's not on the field, it's not as entertaining. Because then I got Shane Vereen
running the football.
Okay, well,
then he's going to get hurt doing something else. I mean, that's just the nature of football. That's going to happen.
But you just see what I mean? It's like a hypocritical conundrum that they're in.
Look, they protect the quarterbacks. The quarterbacks are the big stars. They don't get hurt a lot because they get protected. And they get rid of the Hulk fast. You know, I mean, it's the safeties and the linebackers and fullbacks and running backs. Those are the guys who take the poundings and take all the headshots.
Yeah.
Deacon Jones. You know, back in the 60s and early 70s, Deacon Jones was a defensive end. And he had a move known as the head slap. Okay, I mean, we all know this. You're a football fan, you know who Deacon Jones is. And the first thing he would do to the tackle in front of him was take his hand and hit him on the head as hard as he could.
And try to give him a concussion is what he was doing, right?
Right, and disorienting the guy, right.
Right.
So they said, you know what, that might not be very good. And they took that out. They took spearing out. Yeah, there are definitely rule changes you can make, and I feel the NFL did to make the game. You know, come on,
they can make it as safe as possible. But I mean, I don't know. I think this one's going.
But at the end of the day, right? You can make it. It's not going to be fucking dominant.
Ballerina.
They have access to the data. The data tells them that concussions are the number one injury. That doesn't necessarily. Why does that have to translate to it's a problem that needs to be solved?
How many former football players are out there in the country?
Play just NFL or more?
Well, the NFL. That's what we're talking about.
I have no idea.
Okay, how many of those people are affected by CTE?
No idea. I have no idea.
That's the first number I would like to look before I buy into. And not you, but you know.
Right.
But you kind of bought into it.
To know if the 200
NFL player has CTE, they're all fucking dying and killing themselves.
A guy's been banging heads playing football his whole life. He's gonna have a brain injury. He just is. Some of that's common sense.
All right, that's the risk.
But how many?
I don't know the number. I don't know the number.
Well, shouldn't we know that? And how many of those people? Whatever that percentage is, what is that percentage to the rest of the fucking world? People who like to ride motorcycles. Well, that's what I'd like to know before we act like this is the fucking greatest goddamn problem facing former players.
A neuropathologist, this is sources in New York Times, examined the brains of 111 NFL players, and 110 of them were found to have CTE.
Well, right, but no, that's what I said. But those players who agreed to let this... these people study them, showed signs of CTE before they passed away. That's why they let these people.
Right. So it's a misleading statistic.
It's a misleading statistic.
Because, right, that you looked at the ones who showed signs of CTE.
Right. So how many brains of people who didn't play football did they test? And how many of those showed signs of CTE?
Right. And I don't know if you're ever going to get that number.
I'm not saying it's bad. I mean, I'm not saying it's good or that it's not a problem, but you're not showing me the whole fucking. You're taking a little bitty fucking. a little bitty sample. It's not very scientific. If you do look around, you'll see a lot of doctors.
it's like you went to Golden Corral and said 9 out of 10 Americans are obese. Well, no, you went to the fucking buffet,
right.
which attracts them.
Right. I mean, you're correct. Yeah. So again, I'm not saying it's good. And yes, and Gator, I mean, do we really need a fucking study to figure out that if I hit you in the head for a lifetime that you're going to have problems?
I guess my whole thing is, if you're looking at, my whole point was, you're looking at the statistics in the off-season meeting and stuff, and they come in and they say this is the highest injury that occurs the most, right? Is the injury that occurs the most, 200 and something times a season.
Are you sure
that
doesn't mean, yes. Well, I mean, I don't know if it's the highest, but of the
I mean, like a simple ankle sprain probably happens more than a
Right. Well, maybe the highest serious injury. Okay. You know, okay. MCL, ACL,
right.
TTE.
ACL, like Achilles.
Something that makes a player
career
labrum. Right, right.
Yeah.
Like a severe
career
injury.
Impact.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So, but all right. The fact that, all right, 200. This is part of, and maybe it's not even an NFL problem so much as just society problem. That's just the number. Like, why do we feel like, all right, oh, 200, we need to do something about it? You know, that maybe there's nothing you can do about it, to your earlier point, Jason, without changing the game so much that it's no longer football. Like,
right.
Maybe 200, that's just what it is. You know what? If you're going to play this sport, then you're going to expect 200 instances of CTE. Or two concussions a year.
Yes. I mean, and that's what
That's your number.
That's what football is. You just have to deal with it. Don't try to change it to think you're going to make it safer when it's inherently not a safe sport. You can't.
That's right. If you hit somebody with a helmet, you're going to have a bad time.
That's right. And the first month of the season is going to kind of suck.
I'm not against making, you know, don't lead with your head. Don't, you know.
Right. Play smart.
Don't head clap people. Right. Don't, you know, don't give people the business. You know, yeah, that's all well and good.
It didn't become an issue until the lawsuit showed up. Now, that's what this is about. It's about the NFL protecting themselves. They have, at this point, legally speaking, a legal interest, or whatever you want to call it.
A monetary interest, due
to court cases and stuff, that they have, for the next time they get sued, they have to demonstrate that they have done everything they could possibly.
Yeah, you know what they did? They gave us
safety.
Fucking bounty gates, so fuck them.
That's right.
Right.
That's where this whole bounty gate shit came from. Fuck them. 100%. Fuck them.
So what I'm afraid of is that this is just another way that the NFL is actually going to be able to control the game and in some cases dictate who wins and who loses. They'll be able to put certain teams in the playoffs or advance them in the playoffs if they really needed to or wanted to. Because
no, I don't believe
play,
they actually do
every
that.
Play you can decide whether you want to call that or not. Every, like you said, every fullback lowers his head in the trenches. They lower their helmets. Well, mm-hmm. not every time, but holding could be called on every play too.
We'll state this. I think none of we don't understand the rule. The rule,
right.
Yeah.
We can all round up. We don't even know what the fucking rule is.
Right, but you're a running back. You're a wide receiver. You know, you're running. Someone's about to hit you. Your natural instinct is to curl up, put that head down, try to protect yourself. You know, you curl into a ball, and your natural instinct, when you curl into a ball, your head goes down. They're going to call it on that? Are you kidding?
That's what we don't know. How subjective is this?
They can.
You only get called if you lower your helmet with intent? I mean,
that's what it has to be. I mean, that's the only thing that makes sense. You will never take out incidental head-to-head contact. And if you start fucking calling penalties on incidental contact, that's bullshit. You're fucking the game up. Yes, a holding penalty, you call it because that is
a cheat, one player trying to get an advantage over the other, you know? It's blatantly breaking a rule, right.
Right, holding pass interference. Yes, if I hold the wide receiver's arms, he can't catch the ball.
There it is, Damon. You're kind of hitting it right there. What makes football or made football great, makes it great, is all the correct rules are the ones designed to keep the game fair. Like we all have to follow the same set of rules. At this point, we're reaching a new age where the rules and the flags have nothing to do with fairness of the game.
Right.
And more
right. Someone
to do
trying to
with
get it.
Protection of the player of sorts. And I'm not saying we don't care about the player's health. Not saying that, but almost like government regulation. It's like, you know, we have to, or McDonald's, I have to put the caution hot right. on the thing because we don't want to get sued for somebody who spills their fucking hot coffee on them and they didn't know it was hot.
Right. Right. Caution. Fire is hot. Water is wet.
Right.
You know. So I mean, look, I'm pretty sure I bitched about this before. But, you know, when you get a package from Amazon or somewhere and there's the little, you know, things that in there for to, you know, either protect the package or stop moisture. And they say, do not eat. Yeah, you need to take that out because the people who are eating that, we need to thin them out.
Well, I don't know, man. These kids with the Tide Pod challenges, you might need to.
Right, right. No, right. You shouldn't have to put on a Tide Pod.
Not food.
Not to eat. Right. And those who want to eat them, let them eat them. Let them go. And that way we get a stronger society. You know? We get a stronger society when these people stop contributing to the gene pool.
The last thing I'll bring on before we do close the show, because we are running long here. Did you see the Gronk's commercial with Tide, where he's doing the Tide challenge, Tide Pod challenge, but he's doing like Tide versus other detergents? Ha ha ha! I applaud Tide for embracing the whole, you know, not running away from the Tide Pod challenge PR nightmare that it could have been, and really like totally embracing it, saying, "Oh no, we'll do a commercial about a Tide Pod challenge." All
right,
so good for them, Gronk. You know, perfect person to do the commercial because, you know, he's the kind of guy you would expect to do a time.
To do the Tide Pod challenge. Yeah.
That's right. Me, Gronk. Me eat Tide Pod.
We're really becoming a fucking society of morons.
Yeah, yeah. That conversation kind of spiraled out a little bit.
Boy, that escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
I kind of knew it would. That's why I brought it up. All right, that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. And if you don't listen to us on your podcast app, there is the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, Brandon Coleman, training camp superstar donkeys.
Good night, Who Dat Nation.
That's why I wake up every morning at 2 o'clock, 2:30. Because I got my mama counting on me. I got my sister counting on me. I got my son and my daughter counting on me. I got a world that gets up every morning and watches me.
Stop being this high school dropout. Stop giving up. Stop sleeping on the streets. Stop walking up and down Finkel Avenue like you ain't got nothing. And get your GED. Stop being afraid to take a test. Stop being afraid to go to college because your daddy didn't go and your mama didn't go. I don't do well in math. You're right. You ain't never studied. I'm not good in writing because you have never written before. You can't get through a writing class and you got tutor after tutor, resource after resource. The problem is you ain't never felt no pain before. You're soft. It's a soft generation. You quit on everything. You have to give it everything you got. No more TV, no more parties, no more playing. If you have a 4.0, what you need to be doing is studying. And when you get to the point where all you want to do is be successful, as bad as you want to breathe, then you'll be successful. And I'm here to tell you, number one, that most of you say you want to be successful, but you don't want it bad. You just kind of want it. You don't want it badder than you want to party. You don't want it as much as you want to be cool. Most of you don't want success as much as you want to sleep. Some of you love sleep more than you love success. And I'm here to tell you today, if you're going to be successful, you got to be willing to give up sleep.
So you say you want it as bad as you want to breathe. Then it's showtime. It's examination time. It's time to get tested, to test your will, your endurance. It's time to test your heart, to test your living.
But I'm exactly where I want to be because I realized I gotta commit my very being to this thing. I gotta breathe it, I gotta eat it, I gotta sleep it. And until you get there, you'll never be successful in life. But once you get there, I guarantee you, the world is yours. So work hard and you can have whatever it is you want.